Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about the hindrances to divine guidance. Last couple weeks, we've been talking about the world system, how the world system hinders divine guidance. We talked about how the religious system hinders divine guidance, how time pressure and how peer pressure hinders divine guidance, and how they fit in the broader scope of things is that we have three enemies. As spirit beings who have a soul, who live in earth bodies, while we're here on this earth, we have three categories of enemies, if you will. And that's the world system, our own flesh, and the devil, Satan and his cronies. And two of those have been defeated. So we can learn how to live as defeated beings in two of those areas. That's the world system, because Jesus already overcame the world when he was here. And if we are in him, we have already overcome it. We just have to learn what it looks like as a spirit being, because we have, as a soul beings for so long, and we're defeated by the world system. So when we became born again, we then have to learn how to live as a spirit being who has victory already over the world system, and likewise over the devil. Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago, and since we have been born again and resurrected in Christ, we too defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. But we have lived and inherited thoughts and history and approaches to the devil that he is a lot stronger than he really is. He's a lot more powerful than he really is. And now that we are spirit beings, we can be victorious, be the overcomers that we are in our spirit. It just takes practice to learn how to live as who we really are. Our big challenge is our enemy is our own flesh. And that's not our physical flesh, or even our, a lot of times when we think of flesh, we think about our soulical desires, our instincts, our anything related to the body. And that's not at all what we're talking about. So really what we look at, kind of look at the flesh is a crutch, a soulical crutch, what the soul has used to get by. Now that we have been born again in our spirit, we no longer need to be dependent on our soul getting its life from sources outside of our spirit within. So again, just a quick refresher. Your soul was never meant to meet its own needs or the needs of the body. Your soul, my soul, was meant to receive life, eternal life, through our spirit, your spirit, which is connected to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, and they died, they did not die in their soul. They did not die in their body. They died spiritually. So their spirits were no longer connected to God's spirit. So they lost access to the life that they had been experiencing. So you and I have never experienced eternal life in our soul. So we're coming at it from a different perspective. We've not been this way before. We've not been connected to the eternal life that meets all our needs. So it's hard for us to recognize that, let alone experience, that we already have everything we need to live a true spiritual life here on this earth. You have access to everything you need. All the healing, all the knowledge, all the power and energy, everything you need, you already have access to it. So what's keeping you from drawing in that life? From why is that eternal life, if it's true that it's available right now in your spirit, how come you're not experiencing it? Odds are you're not experiencing it. So far, only one person has truly experienced eternal life, and that is and was Jesus Christ. But what is it that's keeping us from living in the same kind of relationship that Jesus had with his Father? How come we're not living that life? Well, spiritually, you are. But soulically, the thing that's keeping you from experiencing that eternal life is your soulical life, your self life, your flesh. So that flesh is a barrier. I like to think of it and refer to it as a brick wall. Your soul, throughout your history, and it's almost genetic. You inherited it. You were born without a spirit. And from the very beginning, the only method you had to meet your needs, we started at a very young age building a protective wall around ourselves to keep out the bad things and to keep in the good things. And we put in an incredible amount of energy and effort to build that wall and then to keep it in one piece. Now, before we were reborn as spirit beings, that was necessary. And God does not hold that against you. He knew this was going to happen, and he knows the wall that you have was a necessity. What you created, how you protected yourself, is something he knew about that was going to happen in your particular life and in my particular life. In other words, he knows your flesh. He knows how you think. He knows what your needs are. But he also knows that what he has for you already, what he's already given you in your spirit, is far better than that wall. That wall, yes, it may have been protecting us, but it also keeps him out. And his desire for you, and your true desire for you, is that that wall be gone. Now, change is hard. And just as much as we put in so much effort to keep that wall strong and rebuild it wherever it needs to be rebuilt, and sometimes we enlarge it and sometimes we change it to accommodate any given situation. Sometimes we build it around other people. Sometimes we build it to exclude people. But God's job, his desire, is that it be gone completely. Now, he knows how to remove it. And he himself is the one. Even though we're the ones who built it, he's the one who takes it down. Our challenge is to not try to build it, rebuild it as he's taking it down. How can we cooperate with him as he does his work to remove that wall? And this is a very personal process. And this is where we really have the greatest challenge, because this is an area that Jesus didn't have to go through. When he was here on this earth, he never developed that wall. He never built a wall between him and his Father. Our example from him is not on how to get rid of the wall. Our example from him is what it's like to live the eternal life now. And this is one of, I think, one of the challenges we have that we've lost in history, that the early church had such a dynamic example of spirit living in individual, ordinary people, where miracles happened on a regular basis. People's lives were changed. People were raised from the dead on a fairly regular basis. And yet we have so separated ourselves from that to the point where our big goal is to be raptured, to escape, to not embarrass God. That God doesn't do that anymore. Now he's reserved everything for heaven, and he's going to pour out judgment on this earth. And it's amazing to think how many times people have considered themselves to be in the same situation we're in now, that God's pouring out his judgment because the world is so bad. And I was thinking, you know, Christianity, the historical perspective, is so narrow. Percentage-wise, of people who have language and history and civilization, the percentage of people who have had some kind of an organization and government, the percentage that have been even exposed to Christianity has got to be like less than 1% that has ever lived on this earth. And to think that we're just giving up on what God wants to do in us and through us, and that that's it. Then when we die, we go to heaven and we spend our eternity on thrones or whatever your perception is. God has so much of a bigger plan, and to even perceive that, to know that what God has for us, what Jesus said was waiting for us, we couldn't even comprehend, and yet we can't even accept the small things that God said were for us now, the eternal life that was for us now. Jesus said, greater things shall you do, and we're not even doing the lesser things. You know, that is the first in the kingdom of God is greater than any that were before the kingdom of God. And we have settled for occupying, for just getting by, for counting the days, thinking about how many jewels we're going to have in our crown, or on the other hand, trying to figure out on our own what we need to do to please God, what we need to do to build his kingdom, even though his kingdom's already built, we just enter it. But all these misconceptions and misbeliefs are part of that wall that we've created. If you truly believed that God's purpose for you was out of love and freedom and joy, and that it would be thoroughly worth it to knock down that wall, you would live every day organizing your time, your energy, your thought patterns, geared toward, Lord, what are we doing to remove that, the next stone in that wall, the next brick? And this is part of our challenge, that when we fellowship, that's rarely what we are discussing. Where we get caught up in causes and concepts rather than relationship. And for the joy that was set before him, Jesus went through what he went through. What is the joy that God has set before you? Have you tasted him enough that your thirst and hunger is for more of him? And this is why we always come back to spending time with him, because it's in that, in his presence, that he stirs up that thirst and hunger that will draw you to cooperating with him to do whatever he wants to do in your life, to get rid of that wall. You know, we're supposed to be that city set on the hill and that salt. And yet, we are told that the light is one thing and the salt is another. But really, what light does is it attracts and it guides. And what salt does is it makes you thirsty. God drawing you. Is he giving you a greater thirst for him? Not for the things of God, but God himself. And we respond in whatever way we know at any given time. He knows where you're coming from, and he knows the wall you've created. Now remember, he created your soul. He gave you the soul he wanted you to have. And you've built a wall according to the kind of soul you have. And that's your temperament, your mind, your will, and emotions. How that works for each one of us is going to be unique and different. So each one of us has a unique and different wall. And yet there are some strong commonalities. The strengths and weaknesses of each one of our walls are going to have some common traits to them. So this is where we can encourage one another not to try harder, not to make greater effort, but to encourage one another to know him. That what, it's the goodness of God that draws us. And how do we experience that goodness? By spending time with him. And then over time, we see the changes he makes in removing, brick by brick, the wall around our life. Now, that brings up a whole other problem. We then have to learn how to live different. And change is hard. We're back full circle. Because relationships are going to change. How we think of ourselves, how we think of God, everything changes. When we start to live with new expectations, the expectation that we can live as spirit beings here on this earth, that the only thing holding us back is something God can change like that in an instant. Now, sometimes God removes huge banks of bricks, whole walls, he knocks them down and frees us in an area. And then in other areas, he just may even leave for decades, and then all of a sudden you'll start noticing it's starting to crumble. And God may give you a total different illustration of representation of what your wall is, of what your soulical life, your self-life, your crutch is, what you've been using to protect yourself and to get your own needs met. And whatever it is, just remember, it's God is going to be the one to free you from it. Because he is going to first meet your need. Where so often we try to knock the walls down, to overcome a bad habit, to be nice to somebody when we can't, when it's really, it's just effort. Or whatever your struggle is. And just trying to do that work ourselves makes us stronger and interferes with the healing that God wants to get to. So again, it comes back to hearing him, spending time with him. The goal is not about getting rid of the wall. The goal is understanding that the wall is keeping us from being one with him. So as we desire to know him, spirit to spirit, and be one, spirit, soul, and body, and be healed. Oh, by the way, he's removing the wall. Sometimes he'll show us, okay, here's a wall I've removed, part of the wall that I removed, and you didn't even realize it. Sometimes we never realize it, and he just removes it. But a lot of times he wants us to participate. A lot of times when he shows us where he's been moving, some changes he's made, he's already taken down 99% of the wall. But he wants you to participate in the final removal in that wall so that you can experience the change and you can see, you can rebuild a history of freedom and having your needs met in an area where before you were counting on yourself to get your needs met. He knows what you need, and he's already given it to you. So this is then goes back to divine guidance, that this is the, our need for guidance is so strong, and God made it that way, so that we would turn to him. It's an area we need him. We are often so unconfident in making decisions, and then we turn to him is one of his great opportunities to deal with those things that are going on in our soul. So we see that that wall, in many ways, but mostly they fall into three categories of the way that that wall, our flesh, interferes with the divine guidance, with responding to God in that particular situation. And that's the need for control. Your soul continues to want to control how it gets its needs met. It's always done it. It doesn't, your soul doesn't know how to live any other way. Then also, your second is your own temperament, knowing your own temperament, your own personal expectations, your own history, your individual history, your family history. And then finally, just the whole codependency. That we think that it's our job to make God happy, that we're here to be productive for God, to do his work. You know, God left us here because we are his hands and his feet. No, we're not. We're his body. We're all his body. And he doesn't need anybody to accomplish his work. That's one of the reasons he died on the cross alone, because he doesn't need you. You he can do just fine without you, and does just fine without all of us. And most of the time, we just interfere with what he's doing. But we have that mentality, and that's one of the things that greatly interferes with our being able to accept and receive the eternal life, is that we want to help. We need to help. We think God needs to be glorified. He's perfectly capable of glorifying himself. We'll get into this more next week. But our need for control. Remember, your flesh, your wall, is serving two main purposes. To make sure that our needs get met on our terms, on our way, and also so to keep those resources in and maintain control over resources, and also to prevent rejection, to keep out what we want to keep out. So part of learning to depend on the Lord is learning to go to him for our healing. And when we talk about what God wants to do for us, when we talk about going to him and learning everything he has for us, it's going to be on a personal level. And this is, again, why it's so critical that we learn to hear from him for ourselves, that it's not about being able to hear what's going on in other people's lives. It's not about knowing, okay, this is what God is doing in the world or in the future. If you can't hear what God is saying to you for you, you really have no business asking him what he's doing elsewhere. What is God's purpose in your life? It's you. You are his purpose. You are his desire. You are what he is putting time and effort and energy into. So we start with remembering, we always come back to being able to hear his voice and then test it. And then act on it. As we are healed, we are also freed from our flesh. Again, there's the two phases. As we are healed, we no longer need to rebuild the wall. And also, we then can cooperate with God. And instead of resisting him, let him take down more walls. Once you have tasted the freedom and the life, we're more willing to let him take down more wall. We learn that our needs behind the wall are already met, and that we can afford to be rejected by others outside the wall, because we are unconditionally accepted by him. We received eternal life. It's already done. We don't need to get any more eternal life. God is not going to ever be able to say, I reject you, because you are already fully in him. You are already spirit being. You've already gotten that, you know, A+ on your test. You've already become one in his kingdom. There's nothing more that you need to do. You've been re-spirited. So now you come before the throne boldly and you say, Abba, Father. By leading us through obstacles in which we need to go to him for guidance and direction, he exposes our walls and our wounds, pointing out areas that he's ready to work on. So we'll pick it up there next week. Until then, if you have any questions, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, visit the site at therainersclub.org. We'll get together again next Sunday at the same time. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.